Blog Talk Radio.
All right, the latest incarnation, Brenneman Airplane presents Football Fantasy, Two Femmes Talk Football. I'm Jill Brenneman. With me, Renegade Evolution. This is the first football show. This may be the first of a genre. Two women talking football.
I'm sure it happens somewhere, but...
I have never seen it. Yeah, I'm sure it does, too. It has to happen someplace. Where that someplace is, I don't know. Ren, I have breaking news from the NFL.
Okay.
Which is not surprising since this is a football show. We couldn't go anywhere without starting off with that. This is coming now, breaking news from the National Football League. This is being reported on the Silver and Black Report. Silver and Black Report, among other media sources, RaidersFans.net is also reporting the same information. No surprise here. Sources close to the Silver and Black Report have learned that defensive coordinator Rob Ryan will be promoted to the head coaching position of the Oakland Raiders. When this happens, as the Raiders apparently, according to the latest rumors, Lane Kiffin is out. Now, this has not been confirmed by, I have not found a confirmation of this anywhere so far on a major media source. But it is being reported that Lane Kiffin is out. And that is coming from the Silver and Black Report.
I'm not surprised that he's out, but I think it's a mistake. I kind of like the guy, mostly because he gives Davis so much of a headache. And I'm biologically predisposed not to like the Oakland Raiders. But, I think that it's one of those things that you've seen it. The Raiders are doing some of the same kind of stuff that the Redskins have done that have hurt them, I think, which is playing musical coaches. And if you get a guy in there and you let him stay for a brief period of time and then you get rid of him and bring a new guy and you keep doing that, you know, the open-door coach policy, you don't ever get a rapport or a program established. And the Raiders, you know, they're a young team. And, they have a lot of talent there. But they need to find somebody who can put it all together, and they need to let that person stay there long enough to get some sort of thing going.
You know, and I think for all the negative feelings I have for Redskins owner Dan Snyder, who I truly think is a terrible owner, but he's incredibly talented and skilled when it comes to Al Davis. I don't know if Al Davis has lost his mind.
Well, you know, the Raiders haven't had a winning season in what, how long? I mean, they were in the Super Bowl back against Tampa Bay several years back. But, you know, there's been not word one out of them since then. And they're not in a particularly hard division. The AFC West, I mean, they have good teams, but they're not. I mean, it's not like you're playing the Giants every week. I don't know. Al Davis probably has lost his mind. And I'm sure that the folks in Oakland are just not at all thrilled. I got a kick out of Kiffin's, you know, attitude. Well, maybe, you know, if I go, okay. If I stay, okay. He seems very lackadaisical about the whole thing. But, you know, if you're a coach and your owner's not going to work with you and is going to, you know, make it sound like your job is on the chopping block every single Sunday you walk out there, can't be too easy for them or too enjoyable at all, and it can't be good for the team.
And thinking about it, just since their Super Bowl appearance, They've had why can't I think of his name now? It's not popping into my head. He went to Nebraska, and I can't think of his name, the head coach.
Oh, they've had several. I had him down, or written him down earlier. Didn't they have? Did they have Schottenheimer and Norv and?
They had Norv Turner. They had
Gruden.
Joe Bugel. In recent memory, John Gruden, Bill Callahan. That's what I was trying to think of.
Right.
Bill Callahan took over for Gruden, then Joe Bugel.
Right.
Was in that mix at some point. Art Shell.
Mm-hmm.
Now Lane Kiffin, Norv Turner.
Yep, they've gone through several coaches. Like most people change socks. And if you look at the teams you think about teams that have really, established, they may not be on all the time, but, they have their coaches around for a couple years. And because you need that. The players have to get used to the coach needs to get used to the team and the organization, and that's how you build a program. I mean, you look at the teams that really are kind of, not necessarily always the perennial favorites, but powerhouses in the NFL, and their coaches have been there for a while.
Well, and the Raiders don't give anyone any time anymore. I mean, nobody's getting any time with them.
Well, they're looking for an instant fix, and it's kind of like you see these owners out there that have these attitudes that, maybe work in baseball. It seemed to work for the Yankees. You throw money out there and you get a whole bunch of talent and somehow it all comes together, but it doesn't seem to work the same way in football at all.
I think of another team. I think of a team that has good ownership and who has stuck with their coaches, and that's the Carolina Panthers and John Fox. And I think that's turning around again this year.
Right. The Panthers are going to be tough this year. I mean, they're always tough, but yeah, exactly. I mean, I think if there's stability there, it works for the team. And I can also understand that, if you have a team that's not playing well and you have fans expecting stuff and they're screaming down your throat or jumping all over you all the time about why does our team stink, that, there's pressure there. But you have to put effort and stability in to make a good team. It doesn't happen overnight.
Now, another coach on the hot seat is Scott Linehan in St. Louis. As bad as the Raiders have looked, I almost have to say the Rams may be the worst team.
Yeah, I think so. The NFL has, they have the Fox Sports has the Raiders ranked as the worst team in the NFL, but St. Louis isn't too far ahead of them. What's up there? I can't say as I follow St. Louis religiously. I mean, if they're on and I have to watch them, I'll watch them. But, yeah, they have not set the world on fire, really, and they haven't for the last couple years. And they too are another team that was, not so long ago, really someone to contend with.
That's just, you beat me to the punch that – a few years ago, they were the greatest show on turf, and, both Kurt Warner and Mark Bulger were throwing for copious amounts of yards. And
and Warner still is. He's just not with St. Louis, I don't know what's gone wrong there. And it could be that I'm not real aware. It could have been that I think I remember them saying when they went in, to that season where they were just so phenomenal – at that time, a lot of their players were vets. They were older, and they had to, bring in new blood, as it were. But, yeah, I don't know what is up with St. Louis.
Should Scott Linehan – how far into the season would you keep Scott Linehan?
I almost don't believe in firing coaches during the season. I think that, if it has to be done, it has to be done. But I think it's best to get rid of them in the off season because unless literally the players are screaming for the guy's head on a stick, I say keep them because of, throwing a new coach into the mix. Well, early on in the season, it would be one thing. If they waited till middle of the season, I think it would be, I don't know if their season could get any more disastrous, but it bringing a new coach in, midway through, I don't think is a very good idea just in general.
What about
their
coaches?
I was going to say, if they were going to get rid of him, I'd do it now.
And they do have some talented assistant coaches.
They do.
Jim Haslett, former Saints coach, Al Saunders, who's
mm-hmm.
one of the architects of the greatest show on turf.
I mean, they definitely have coaching talent there. And, you know, it's just a matter of getting it all together. And if it would be best for the organization to move one of those guys up, you know, then maybe they should do it. But if they're going to do it, they need to do it soon.
Well, I think no matter who's coach, one of the first things they have to do is protect Bulger. I mean, Bulger's been sacked, you know, a billion times already this season. He's on a path. If this keeps up,
he
will pass David Carr.
Exactly. Well, it's one of those things. If your quarterback is spending, you know, three quarters of the game on the ground, he's not going to be throwing or passing for touchdowns. You know, it's just there will be no offense if your quarterback is on his behind on the ground the whole time.
In terms of other coaches in the hot seat, Herm Edwards comes to mind. Marvin Lewis comes to mind.
Well, yeah, it's a job that I wouldn't want to have. I'll put it that way. I think, in a way, with some of these teams, it's too early, really, to start. I mean, granted, you never want to be going in. You know, you don't want to be 0-2, but it's still early. I mean, nothing is set in stone as far as anyone going anywhere yet. Some teams just take longer to get their mojo going. I mean, there was the one season a couple years back where Chicago did so horrible. I mean, they lost what, like their first six or something games, or first eight out of or six out of eight or whatever, and then they came back and they were in the playoffs. Some teams just they start slower, and I think it's hard to say if it's bad coaching or if it's just, you know, early season working the kinks out with some of these guys anyway.
All right. How about addressing some of the controversies? Perhaps the worst call in the last 5 years.
The infamous, it really was a fumble?
The infamous Ted Hockley call. Now, the guy's a good referee. He's refereed Super Bowls, but he blew this and he cost him the game.
Yeah, he did, and it was funny. I read an interesting article by a sports writer today about that, about this call. Apparently, Hockley has been, you know, spoken to, and his, you know, his rank as a referee will go down because of it. But via the rules, because he blew the play dead, the play is dead, and it's, you know, unfortunate for the Chargers, and it is definitely fortunate for the Broncos. And Cutler came out and said, you know, that I fumbled that ball. But, I mean, the way they have the rules set up now, as soon as that ball is blown dead, so, I mean, the fault lies completely on Hockley, and he admits that he did it horribly. But this guy cracked me up because I guess he follows the sports writer, has been following the Chargers for quite some time, and, you know, bad calls go, every team gets a few every year. And he's convinced that nobody whines about it quite like the Chargers, in the fact that they're still so hung up on this happening last week that they're not even focusing on the fact that, you know, they have to play the Jets this week. And it's kind of like, you know, it happened and it was unfortunate for them and, you know, fortunate for the Broncos. But they need to forget about that call and get ready for Brett Favre and crew. But no, I mean it was an unfortunate thing, and for San Diego, and Hockley's taken a ton of you know, he's one of the most hated men in the state of California right now, and his ranking has suffered as a referee has suffered for it. So aside from fire him, I don't see much more what they can do, and I don't know if you take a guy who's had a career like that and can him over, you know, one really unfortunate but a mistake.
One of the questions I have goes back to Norv Turner. If there's any coach that kind of scares me in terms of wondering if he really has the passion to get a team past this, it's Norv Turner. I like Norv Turner. He's a good offensive coordinator, but he's never had a whole lot of success. And granted, he's worked for a lot of bad owners. I mean,
right.
The guy's worked for Dan Snyder. The guy's worked for Al Davis.
Right. No, I like him, too. I think he's got a brilliant mind for the game, And you can see that he was quite distressed over that call. But if he lets it nag at him, or if he takes it as a personal kick, it will affect his team. And I don't know. He does seem like the type that, I don't know, I'm not going to say that he's a quitter or he chokes or anything like that, but I do think he dwells on things. And that does affect him. And I think maybe he's a little bit more, maybe he listens a bit more to what the press is saying or what the fans are saying, and he lets it get to him. But this wasn't his fault either. This had nothing, I mean, his team did everything right. This was, you know, a bad call by an official, and hopefully, you know, for the sake of his team, he can get over it. But I mean, you look at, they have this call. Their star player is, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson. You know, has the toe injury. They're just not running long on good luck right now, and they're supposed to be the team to beat. People have been saying for years the Chargers are, you know, one of the best teams in the NFL. They have everything there. But they've never managed to make it all the way to where it counts. I think that, you know, that's weighing on Norv's mind, no doubt.
Yeah, I remember back to last season. I remember seeing, going way back, I remember seeing Philip Rivers as a freshman at NC State, seeing him live here in Raleigh-Durham. Mm-hmm. And when they defeated Georgia Tech in a Thursday night game, and the guy was awesome. But then I saw him last season with the Chargers against the Broncos, and he was running his mouth with Jay Cutler. And I was thinking to myself, you know, it's like, Philip, you really haven't proven anything right now.
Yeah,
before you're going to draw and run your mouth, win something.
And Cutler's the wrong guy to do it to. I mean, he is, you know, calm like a criminal. I mean, he is Mr. Cool out there. And, I mean, it's kind of like, with the exception of Jake Plummer, a tradition with Denver quarterbacks, that if you give them a bad time, they will make you pay. They are that kind of a team. And I think that a lot of times these guys come in, you know, and it's not, I mean, you could think of countless players that have been like this. They were big stars in their college days, and they roll into the NFL with the same sort of attitude that they're going to be the king of the hill, and sometimes they learn pretty quickly that's not the way it's going to be. I'm always a big fan of the guys that just go out there and do their job and play the game and don't run their mouths constantly. I mean, sometimes it's amusing or, you know, there's some humor there, but, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't spend money on tickets or DirecTV or cable television or whatever to watch a showboat. I watch you to play football.
You know, and it's gone so far with that, too. I agree. I remember the days of, even though I've never been a Redskins fan, I remember the days of John Wiggins. The guy would score a touchdown, he'd hand the ball to the ref and go back to the house. Done.
Yep. Well, and I can even understand, you know, you score a touchdown, a little woohoo or whatever, but, you know, also, I mean, they have the whole taunting rule, and I think that that needs to be more universal. I mean, there was a, people get called for it in some games and they don't get called for it in other games. But there's a whole bunch, I understand that, you know, I'm sure passions run high on the field and ugly things are said on the line and all like that. But, you know, it's going to cost your team. I mean, I believe it was, I was watching the Saints game, the Saints and the Redskins this week, and someone got called for taunting and, you know, got the automatic penalty. And it's, you know, that much more work that your team then has to do because you chose to run your mouth. And I'm sure the people that, you know, do it often, the players that do it often, they're not real popular in the locker room if it ends up costing them games, you know?
Well, I think one of the classic teams with problems of that nature are the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, you've got too many guys with too many egos there. You know, you've got Chad Ochocinco, and yes, he changed his name to that, but, you know, he's made a big production out of being Ochocinco. But before you're Ochocinco, you need to win some games.
Right, and Cincinnati, they're another one that, you know, so much potential and so much talk, and they've just been slaughtered their last two games. Well, I mean, this week they didn't really, you know, get put in the dirt like they did last week, but it's kind of like you can talk once you, not even, you don't even have to have a ring on your finger, but yeah, you need to win some games. I mean, that's kind of like as much as, you know, I know they're your team, and they're not particularly my team, but I think the reason that the Patriots in many ways are so popular is because here's a team that goes out, they play football, they win, they do their jobs, but there's not all of this running of the mouths or, you know, I'm the best in the world, blah, 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 blah. They play as a team and don't spend a lot of time telling everyone how great they are. They just go out and show everyone how great they are.
You know, I remember after they won their first Super Bowl, and at some point right after the Super Bowl, they had interviewed Bill Belichick and asked him if he felt good from having just won the Super Bowl. And he said something to the effect that he felt terrible, that they were 6 weeks behind in preparation for the next season.
Right. And yeah, they're all business.
They don't play around. I mean, anyone who's talked to me about football in the last week, I said, and perhaps, you know, in future shows, everybody will be burying me for this statement, but I think Matt Castle will be fine. New England has survived the loss of other players that seemed irreplaceable. Adam Vinatieri, they brought in, who's Stephen Gostkowski? But there he was.
Yep, yep, and everyone was so amazed when they got rid of, Vinatieri, because, I mean, he really was one of the best at what he does in the league. I mean, right up there with, Elam and that crowd. I mean, he's incredible. But, you know, yeah, they have a unique talent for if someone is hurt, they, you know, move stuff around and they make it work. And it's because as a team they're strong. I mean, they're a good team. The only time the Patriots ever seem to get in trouble is when they have too many injured people. I mean, if they get beat up, they're in trouble. But I think Castle's going to do fine. And it's not like, you know, Brady has dropped off of the face of the earth. Apparently, you know, he's talking to Kessel and texting him and giving him all of his little pointers and, you know, how to do this with this teammate and things like that. I mean, Brady is, if not the best, one of the best in the NFL today at what he does. But the Patriots' depth goes beyond Tom Brady.
All right, going back to a previous story that we talked about at the beginning of the show, this was sent to me at xxbnradio@gmail.com, and you can send your email then, xxbn@gmail.com. We will be opening up in about 7 minutes. We'll open up the lines for listener Colin. Rex Ryan, age 45, becomes the 17th head coach in silver and black history and the 6th head coach since the decade began. The fiery coordinator interviewed for the job in 2007 after the firing of Art Shell, but Oakland went with a young assistant from USC, telling Ryan in the process that he would make a good coach in the league in the near future. According to the Silver and Black report and the writer of the report, Victor Cotto, Lane Kiffin is out, Rob Ryan is in.
Well,
any thoughts on Rob Ryan?
Well, you know, hopefully he'll do right by the Raiders. I mean, you know, I guess they made him wait his turn, and now it's his turn. Let's see what he does with it. Let's see if he's there by the end of the season, you know.
He'll be able to collect unemployment next year.
Right, right.
All right. Before we open up the calls to the listener line, do you want to go over predictions?
Let's first talk about what are the Texans going to do now that their stadium is a casualty of a hurricane.
According to reports that I'm reading,
they're trying to have it ready by October 5th, from what I heard.
If it's not ready, they are going to play at the stadium of Rice University.
Well, that works, I guess, then. At least they have a place to play. And I know they are planning on rescheduling the game that they did not play against Baltimore. That's supposed to happen in, I think they said, like October, early to mid-October. And I guess it would be week 5 or week 6. So they will still be playing the Ravens. It's just a matter of when.
You know, I was kind of surprised at the almost flip attitude of Texans owner Bob McNair. I had on Brenneman Airplane on XXBN last week, we had a hurricane forecaster, Rob Lightbound, who kind of unfortunately, but he was very correct in predicting the extensive damage that hit East Texas and Houston. And Rob said, there's no way this is going to be played. And Bob McNair essentially blew it off, saying, you know, he didn't really have a good prediction, and to him everything was business as usual, and he kind of blew it off. Well, according to the latest reports, if Reliant Stadium in Houston is not ready by the October 5th game, Houston Texans owner Bob McNair has discussed the possibility of playing at Rice Stadium. Rice Stadium, which holds 47,000 seats in its current configuration, but apparently if you remove the tarps in the end zone, then it would expand to 70,000, and it hosted the first Super Bowl, or not the first, it hosted the Super Bowl in 1974. So, you know, I initially thought perhaps they'd play in San Antonio.
Right. That would make sense, except San Antonio's kind of a haul, isn't it? I guess Rice is closer.
Rice is definitely closer. I'd also wondered what the status was in the Astrodome. I haven't seen anything about the Astrodome, but apparently it was discussed that 5 panels on the roof of Reliant Stadium, 5 of the major roof panels have been extensively damaged, that they did discuss playing the home games without the roof, but that if there was any significant rainfall, there would be drainage issues.
Right.
The field isn't designed as a closed stadium, with the idea of it being closed when it rains to take on the devastating rains that can happen in Houston.
Right.
It has to be tough on Gary Kubiak and his team. You know, their first home game,
yep.
Essentially, they don't have a September home game this year.
It's true. And, you know, I really like Kubiak. I've liked him for a long time, and I was pleased to see him get to move up to a head coach position, and the Texans seem like a good team for him. But, you know, I think it's interesting with this. I mean, you look at how, even after Katrina and after how horrible that was, and you look at the situation that Houston and Galveston are in, the sooner Houston can get back into their actual home stadium, the better it's going to be. I mean, it's, you know, people love their teams, and it gives them something to root for. So I hope they can be back in by the 5th. But I guess we'll see.
You know, it's truly a terrible, terrible thing that's happened in Houston. You know, I don't know that, you know, having seen the damage, you know, closer to the Texas coast, it's truly astonishing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you turn on the news and it's, you know, Galveston's pretty much gone. But I do hope that they can get home and play on their home turf soon, because, you know, nobody wants to have to. I mean, you look at the time the Saints spent, you know, going from stadium to stadium and not really having, you know, a place to hang their helmets, as that were. I think that, you know, being in your own house makes a big difference. I mean, it's called home field advantage for a reason.
And, I mean, we only have to go back to the Saints back in 2005 after Katrina, and the team just did not recover from not having any home game.
Yep. Well, and then when they finally did move back into their home stadium, I think that season everybody's second favorite team was the Saints. You know, people were rooting for them just because they got to be at home, and it you know, it seemed to improve the morale of so many people in Louisiana in general. So we'll wish the Texans good luck on getting home soon.
Well, we definitely wish them good luck. And having gone through a major hurricane myself, it was not on par. It was not on par necessarily with what happened with Hurricane Ike, but Hurricane Fran certainly was nothing to sneeze at either. And clearly, it's an ordeal. And so hopefully, you know, they will be back home soon, and they can be something for the people in Houston to hold on to. Vince Young.
What? Yes, let's talk about Vince Young. You know, this guy is one heck of an athlete. But they don't seem to be hurting too bad with him not there.
Well, you know, I think there's an irony in the whole thing. You know, there's been discussion that Vince Young didn't want to go back out and play, and questioned as to whether he'd quit on the team. And I remember Kerry Collins going through this back with the Carolina Panthers. And if anybody probably has a sense of what Vince Young is going through and could be a mentor to him, it's Kerry Collins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly if I was Vince Young, I would tell my mother to shut up.
Yeah, I think he's amazing. I mean, I've watched this guy play. I remember watching him in a couple games last year. And, I mean, this is a big, strong athlete. You know, he's smart. He's got it all, you know, going there for being, you know, as good as he is. But, you know, stuff seems to get to him. And it's you know, I don't know. He's playing for a team. It's tough to play for that team. You know, if they don't like you, they let you know. And I think, you know, if he was on any other team, and, you know, if he was with the Lions or Chicago or whatever, you know, it would be amazing. I don't know if that's the right team for him.
Well, clearly the guy is struggling, you know, emotionally. You know, one of the things though that I've wondered is I can't imagine that Nashville is the toughest media market in the country. I mean, clearly, I think the Jets and the Giants probably should never sign Vince Young. But then the same could have been said about Kerry Collins, and Kerry Collins took the Giants to a Super Bowl.
Right. I mean, I think he's good. I think that I guess he doesn't feel as if he is wanted or appreciated where he's at. And I know that, you know, Donovan McNabb, I guess, apparently had similar feelings about the, you know, the Eagles and that organization, and it seemed to work itself out. I mean, he's playing great. I think that Vince Young has a whole lot of talent, and I think it would be a shame to see it wasted. And if he's not happy there or they're not happy with him, something needs to be done where if he still wants to play, he can go someplace where he feels comfortable and is at home and, you know, can play the game and enjoy it at least.
Well, there are certainly a number of teams that need a quarterback. The Vikings?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, there are. There are a lot of teams that could use that kind of a talent.
You know, the Vikings, who announced today that Tavares Jackson's job is not secure.
Right.
I've kind of wondered the whole time how his job was ever secure. You know, he certainly is not bringing back any memories of Fran Tarkenton.
Right.
You know, he's not even bringing back any memories of Randall Cunningham.
Mm-hmm. And it's when you've got a lot of teams that, you know, they have great quarterbacks right now, but, you know, these guys are no spring chickens. I mean, Favre comes to mind. Warner comes to mind. I mean, they're great now, but they can't play forever. And, you know, Vince Young is kind of right at that age where quarterbacks really seem to start to come into their own. I think it would be a shame to see, you know, his talent go to waste. But if he's not happy playing there and they're not happy with him playing there, then something needs to be done. Because if not, the team will continue to suffer. Everybody who has to, you know, the whole organization and Young himself will continue to suffer.
Now, speaking of Brett Favre, of course, retired, and he attempted to unretire, and the Packers have said, you know,
thanks
but no thanks. Take your drama elsewhere. Aaron Rodgers, 328 yards passing last week. Passer rating of 117.8. He's got 506 yards so far, 4 touchdowns. That would put Aaron Rodgers on a projected path. If he stays at this pace, he would complete 70% of his passes for 4,048 yards and 32 touchdowns.
Yep. Oh, I mean, hey, there is life in Green Bay after Brett Favre. I mean, they've played, you know, great their first two games, and it's you know, I like Brett Favre. I'm a fan of Brett Favre, and he seems happy with the Jets, and Green Bay seems to be doing just fine without him. But yeah, that they are not hurting because he's not there.
Speaking of Brett Favre, to me, does Brett Favre look like he's about 50 years old?
Oh, see, I have an incredible crush on Brett Favre. I think he's adorable. But, yeah, I mean, the man's done some living. But I don't think he looks 50. I don't know. Maybe he needs to color his hair or something. I don't know.
I think he needs to color his hair. I mean, Joe Theismann is like 20 years older than Brett.
Well, but you know, it's just, I don't know. I like Brett Favre. I think he's a cool guy. And he seems happy in New York, happy playing for New York. So I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the Jets. Lord knows they needed some help, so.
You know, this will undoubtedly, you know, I'll never live this down, but first, I wish Monday Night Football was still on ABC. And second, I wish ESPN had stuck with Mike Patrick, Joe Theismann, and Paul McGuire. That was my all-time favorite announcing team.
Yeah, see, I generally, a lot of times, I will turn down the sound because I don't like the announcers. I have, you know, certain people, you know, from everything from the pregame shows to the regular announcers, there's ones that I really, really like. I mean, I love Howie Long. I think he's great. And, you know, the pregame shows and whatnot and the halftime shows. Shannon Sharp, he never fails to crack me up. But, I'd rather not listen to Terry Bradshaw. I don't know why they take a good team and they break it up.
All right, let's see. We've got 23 minutes left. We should probably move
on
to
the phone lines. Yeah.
The phone lines. So if you'd like to join us, we're going to start going over predictions. If you'd like to join us, 646-200-3136. 646-200-3136. You can also go to xxbn.net, press click to talk, cross your fingers and pray. That sometimes crashes the board. But assuming it doesn't knock the show off the air, we will get you on. Or you can ask your questions in chat. That's also at xxbn.net. Once again, the call-in number, 646-200-3136. I'm Jill Brenneman. With me, Renegade Evolution. This is Football Fantasy, Two Femmes Talk Football, then only on XXBN. All right. And let me pull up the screen with the schedule. Unless you have the schedule in front of you.
I've got week three all written down. You ready?
Let's do it.
I got it all here. I'm old school. I use like pen and pencil and stuff.
Well, I heard about that.
Yeah, I do. I write everything down. It's bizarre.
You know, I've got this real phobia about lights. If you ever saw my apartment, I like dim lighting and colored lights. So you know, I don't have any normal color light bulbs.
Ah,
other than in the bathroom.
Well, yeah. See, I have a well lit place.
All right. Starting off on the schedule, which game you want to start with in this evolution?
If you're on NFL, we're in the same order, which would be Kansas City and Atlanta.
That's a tough game to pick.
See, actually, no, the Falcons was an easy one for me. I'm taking the Falcons.
I have to take the Falcons, too. I can't see, Kansas City looks awful.
They do look awful, and they're one of those teams that they will undoubtedly destroy somebody else's season, but they just don't have that, and they're tough at home, but on the road, they don't have a good rep. They haven't for years.
What happened since Dick Vermeil left?
Well, you know, I don't know. And I mean, the AFC West is a weird division. They don't quite have, you know, they used to be just so known for just playing, you know, so hard. And if they hit you, you felt it for a week, and that's sort of gone away.
You know, and it's too bad because I like Herm Edwards. I really like Herm Edwards with the Jets, but Kansas City, you know, they had this great offense back with Vermeil and Al Saunders and Trent Green was the quarterback. And,
yep. Well, I mean, they got stomped by Oakland. That's like a sign of the apocalypse right there.
It truly is. I mean, Lane Kiffin beat Oakland, and if the report out of Silver and Black report is correct, Lane Kiffin still got fired after beating
yep.
the Chiefs. What is that? Arizona, Washington.
Oh, Arizona-Washington. You know what? I think that could be an incredibly good game. Arizona is finally kind of getting their groove on. They've played real well, but they're in Washington, and I think the Washington Redskins are going to win that one.
I'm going to go with Arizona. I've always been a Kurt Warner fan. I really like Kurt Warner. I think, you know, it's always tough to pick the Cardinals to go on any type of winning streak. There's just, you know, I mean, their last winning streak, I think, was, you know, Jim Hart and Don Coryell, and back in, like, 74. I'll go to Arizona.
Yeah, and I'm looking at my local weather report here, and granted it's several days away, but it looks like they could be playing in some real sketchy weather.
I do have to say this is the first coaching pick of Dan Snyder's that I agreed with. I like Jim Zorn. I think Jim Zorn was a good choice. It was a controversial choice. You know, he hasn't been a coordinator.
Yep.
Washington also has a backup quarterback named Colt Brennan. He set all kinds of records, and at Hawaii for June Jones in a run and shoot. And I wouldn't be surprised if at some point Colt Brennan emerges as the guy.
Yeah, well, and Clinton Portis is hyped, so that always helps for Washington. So I'm going with the Redskins.
Tampa Bay at Chicago.
See, there's another one that could be an interesting game. I'm taking the Bears, though. They're playing at home and all, so.
I'll take the Bucks. I'm not sold. I'm not sold on the Bears. You know, Gruden goes to the quarterback a year, and clearly it appears that Jeff Garcia is out. That he's on the skids with Gruden, and Brian Greasy is in. And Greasy
right.
was a former Bears quarterback.
Yes. He's played lots of places. Greasy has. But yes, he did. He played for the Bears. So maybe he wants a little revenge.
Greasy was Elway's character.
Yeah, he replaced Elway. And then, he's played all kinds of places.
And the next one's easy. Miami in Foxborough at Gillette against the Patriots.
Yeah, I think I'm going with the Patriots there.
I think so, too. You know, I think even if Castle gets hurt and they end up playing Kevin O'Connell or Matt Gutierrez or...
If my phone rings and I end up playing for the Patriots, I still think they could beat the Dolphins.
I think
And
so
I'm going to get a lot of people in Miami angry at me for saying that, but it's true.
Well, you know, Parcells and Sperano will get it done,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to take time.
Yep.
17 minutes left. This is Football Fantasy, Two Times Talk Football. I'm Jill Brenneman in the XXBN studios with me. Renegade Evolution. You can join in, give your thoughts on predictions as we go. 646-200-3136. Cincinnati, the Bengals, they travel to the Meadowlands and take on a team which should not be the world champions, but there they are. Tom Coughlin and the New York Giants.
Hey now. No, I think New York's got this one in the bag. They are playing they're playing better this year so far than they did last year. Eli is all mellow and comfortable with his team. He's looking good. They're all looking good. I'm taking the Giants on that one.
I have to take the Giants too. I mean, Cincinnati is awful. And you know, I've never been a fan of Tom Coughlin, but Tom Coughlin got it done last year, and he's getting it done this year. You know, 2 weeks into the season, they look like the real deal. It was not a fluke.
They do, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see them go, maybe all the way to the big thing again this year if they keep playing the way they're playing now.
I wouldn't be surprised to see it either. There's not a lot of competition in the NFC.
Not yet, anyway. Things develop weirdly. By the time the season's halfway over and people are hurt and stuff, then you can start to tell.
All right. The Houston Texans versus the former Houston Oilers, now Tennessee Titans, and Kerry Collins. This is in Nashville.
I'm taking the Titans.
I'm taking the Titans, too. It, as much as I'd like to see Houston win because I like Kubiak and you know, and at this point Houston's kind of a sentimental favorite, you know.
Right.
Because
you'd like to see him win. I just don't think it's going to happen. If I was betting in Vegas, the money would be on Tennessee.
Now, in terms of quarterback controversy, Sage Rosenfeld's Matt Schaub.
See, I honestly, you know, I'd have to see more going on there, just in general, to make an opinion on that.
Sage to me is a guy that I'm surprised hasn't been picked up by a team that needs a quarterback.
Right.
Of course, the same was said about Matt Schaub, you know, last year, and talked about a disastrous thought process. You know, they cut Schaub, and then the whole thing with dog murderer Michael Vick.
Right.
Carolina goes up to the Twin Cities at the Metrodome.
Yeah, and that's another one. That could be a heck of a game, I think, but I'm going with the Panthers.
I will go with the Panthers, too, although it's hard to pick. It's hard to see Minnesota going 0-3. You know, I mean, the running back, which, again, I'm drawing a blank.
Mm-hmm.
He looks incredible.
Mm-hmm.
We've got commentary in the XXPN chat room. Taking the Vikings, Sir Puck has written in, taking the Vikings, Ren has lost her mind.
It's entirely possible I've lost my mind. You wouldn't be the first person to have suggested as such.
And, again, feel free to comment. We've got 13 minutes left. You can do that in the chat room. You can also call us and get your thoughts in.
Actually, I think he says taking the Vikings. I didn't take the Vikings.
I didn't think he took the Vikings either.
I took Carolina. See, Sir Puck, you had it wrong. You misheard. I'm taking the Carolina Panthers.
I will take the Carolina Panthers, too. John Fox is a good coach. Jake DeLome has taken them to the Super Bowl. Sir Puck is...
I got it. I'm on chat, too. I told him it's all good.
Whether the rumors are true or not, the Rex Ryan-led Raiders or the Lane Kiffin-led Raiders or I guess the bottom line, the Al Davis-led Raiders traveled to Buffalo, Trent Edwards and the Bills.
I think the Bills are winning that pretty handily. And I hate to do that because every time I pick the Bills, they screw up. But they've shown some signs of life this season, and it's Oakland. So I'm taking the Buffalo Bills.
I will take the Bills, too. I like Dick Geron. I didn't think they should have fired him in Chicago. As much as I hate the fact Dick Geron is in the AFC East, and I wish he wasn't, because I don't want any good coaches in the AFC East. Although I will say, as a Patriots fan, I don't want another 16-0 season. I think they were exhausted last year by the time they got to the Super Bowl, and I'd rather be 12-4 and win the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, I think Buffalo's found the real deal with Trent Edwards at quarterback. They've got a good backup at J.P. Watson, so you know, this could be a turnaround year for the Bills.
Yeah, well, and the Bills are tired of getting kicked around. They're tired of, you know, the Buffalo Who people. They're tired of it. And I think they've got a lot of talent, and they're ready to do some damage this year, I think.
Well, the only downside for the Bills is in all of their home games they have to travel back to Buffalo.
Yeah, it's cold up there. I've been to Buffalo. That's some cold, cold weather.
It is cold. It is bleak. No wonder they're playing.
It's miserable. It's kind of. Yeah, it's gray from about October to about May.
I wouldn't be surprised to eventually see the Bills in Los Angeles.
The Los Angeles Bills? Hey, that works. Why not?
We've got the Utah Jazz in the NBA.
Yeah, why not?
The must-see game on Fox this weekend, you know, clearly people will be hanging off their seats the whole time for this game. It is a grudge match of sorts. Detroit, formerly the stomping grounds of one Mike Martz, the mad scientist. Detroit goes to San Francisco to battle J.T. O'Sullivan, who I like J.T. O'Sullivan. You know, I don't understand why the NFL doesn't keep some sort of minor league football. J.T. O'Sullivan did a, you know, he played really well in NFL Europe, and a lot of good guys have come out of NFL Europe. I mean, Vinatieri came out of NFL Europe. Kurt Warner came out of NFL Europe. Brad Johnson came out of, I think, the World League at that time. Do you see Detroit winning this game?
You know, actually, I'm taking the 49ers.
I'm taking the 49ers, too.
Yeah, and that was a real tough pick for me, actually, because it's kind of like, but, you know, if you listen to what's said, San Francisco is supposed to have I remember early on, they're like, this is a team to watch in the NFC. Well, let's see if they're right.
A question was, that sarcasm about Detroit, San Francisco? Of course not. I mean, that is going to be, you know, a riveting, you know, 37-0 blowout.
It's the knuckle biter of the week right there. The game that, you know, if I had DirecTV, that would be the one I'm getting. Or not.
That's up there with getting the Season 6 box set of Knots Landing.
Correct. Now watch, it'll be the best damn game of the week.
it may be a shootout. You know, I mean, I like Mike Martz a lot. And if I was 49ers, I would probably toss Mike Nolan out in the bay and be done with him. You know, and promote Mike Martz. I like Mike Martz. Let's see. The Drew Brees, Sean Payton, the Saints, they go out to Invesco Field at Mile High.
Yes.
Take on the Saints, is that hockey league going to ref again?
The Saints, I don't think so. I think the Saints are traveling to one of the prettiest stadiums in the NFL at the foot of Mount Doom. I'm taking the Broncos. They are extremely tough at home, and Mike Shanahan is a genius. Plus, they're like one of my two favorite teams, so I'm taking the Broncos.
I'm going to go with the Saints. I have to pick the Saints.
You have to, just because.
Of course, Denver's got the advantage. You know, for anyone that's tried to go jogging in Denver, you know, I mean, it feels like someone sucked all the wind out of you after about 3 yards.
Oh, well, it's true. I mean, I used to live there, and I like to run, and the only reason I can run just about anywhere is because I started running in Colorado. They have, you know, Mother Nature is likes the Packers and the Broncos, and Denver's just tough at home, and I think they're riding a little high after their luck out last week, and New Orleans is sort of struggling, so I'm going to take the Broncos.
All right, another absolute jaw-dropper. On Fox, you know, I don't think there's too much question as to what will be the major game on Fox this week. Of course, it's going to be St. Louis, the Rams. They go up to Seattle and take on the Seahawks. The question there, the Seahawks.
Yeah, what is with the Seahawks? I mean, I know they are just absolutely, they've been put in the dirt already with injuries. But here's a team that really, they were just, you know, even last year, you know, amazing to behold. And I know, yeah, they are. They have a lot of injuries and whatnot. But they've really kind of shown nothing here thus far. But I think they have what it takes to beat St. Louis. So I'm taking the Seahawks.
Well, who would have ever thought, you know, 2 games into the season, the Hawks would already be 2 games behind the division-leading Arizona Cardinals and 1 game behind the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, it seems there's something amiss in the universe there. And who knows, you know, maybe once, you know, they're healthy and they get, you know, things back together, they will make us eat our words about them thus far. But so far I don't see it happening. I mean, I think they have what it takes to beat St. Louis, but who knows?
I do agree with Sir Puck in the XXPN chat room. First to win six. First to score six and Seattle-St. Louis win. I'm not sure St. Louis can score six.
Yeah, well, it depends on how their kicker's feeling. You know, it does, and you know, games have been won on kicks alone. But I don't think it's going to be a riveting game. Who knows? You know, it could be good. Sometimes when you have two teams that aren't great and they play each other, it's still a good game because neither of them are fantastic.
A lot of truly bad games in the NFL this week. Cleveland and Baltimore.
Yeah, there's one for you. You know, as much as sometimes I'd like to pick or root for the Cleveland Browns just because, and especially with this whole Baltimore situation, the Colts snuck out and left Baltimore a dear Baltimore letter, and there's a big rivalry between, you know, Indy is hated and the Colts and Baltimore and all that other stuff. They're playing in Baltimore. I'm taking the Ravens.
That's a tough game. And, you know, I'm gonna have to take Cleveland. I like Derek Anderson. You know,
well, my heart's with Cleveland, but my money would be with Baltimore. Plus, my significant other's favorite team is the Browns.
I don't know if the Browns were as good as they were last year. I don't know if they're as bad as they look this year.
I thought they were talking about how they were going to be real tough this year, and you know that, you know, Cleveland was coming into his own, in its own. I just haven't seen it yet. Maybe it will be this week, but I think this one I'm going with the home team.
All right, the team last year that was called a team that was from the South that played Northern football, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They travel up to Lucas Oil Field, which is a terrible name to name a stadium.
It is. It's a beautiful stadium, though.
A beautiful stadium, you know, perhaps I'm old school, but I hate most of the named stadiums now.
Yeah, I liked it much better. I mean, that whole, you know, in Invesco, Mile High, it's Mile High Stadium. But yeah, I don't like the whole corporate names either. But we have the Jags at the Colts. That could be one heck of a game.
I have to go with the Jags.
You're going to go with the Jags? I think Jacksonville's they have a whole lot of potential, and I think for the last couple of years they've been one of the most underrated teams in the NFL. But I'm going with the Colts. I'm going with Peyton in Indianapolis at home.
You know, the last time I saw the Jags on TV, I was in Santiago, Chile.
Oh, cool. They like the Jags down there?
It was the Jags playoff game against the Patriots, and surprisingly, there are a lot of people watching the game in the sports bar, and I don't think most of them had a clue what was going on.
Well, that's really cool, though, the idea that you could, like, you know, walk into a sports bar in Chile and catch the Jags and the Patriots.
All right. The battle for Pennsylvania.
Yeah. There's my other favorite team sitting there, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. So, needless to say, I'm going with the Eagles.
I hate the Eagles.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people do. A lot of people don't like the Eagles at all. I'm not one of them. I have the utmost respect for Donovan McNabb. I have spent many a night sitting here crying in my chunky soup in my Donovan McNabb jersey. But, yeah, against Pittsburgh, you know, Ben's health isn't the greatest. I'm taking the Eagles.
You know, Ben's health falters. The backup isn't such a bad backup.
He's not. But I think, I'm looking at the first two games and how well Philly has played and how everything seems to be kind of going smoothly for them. So, yeah, I'm going to take them.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
All right. You know, when this is all said and done, we're going to have to post our picks. We'll have to have, like, a little sidebar with each of our week to see how we'll do like they do on the you know, Sports Center shows and stuff. And Sir Puck can send his in, too, if he wants.
So, Sir Puck, we want all your picks before you sign off. You know, you can get my picks on the Peter King Challenge.
Okay, yes. Yeah, I thought about doing that one. I normally just post mine, but maybe we could put them up on Brennerman Airplane on your site.
That's what we'll do. We will put them up on Brennerman Airplane.
I'll draw a goofy logo and everything.
You know, I don't care if I win anything on the Peter King Challenge. I just want to beat Peter King. You know, the guy came through a security checkpoint that I was a supervisor at and threw a complete tantrum. Peter King is a jerk. You know, he's a good writer when he's not talking about himself, but Peter King is a complete jerk. And I lost to him last year by one game.
Well, so this year shall be your revenge.
This year shall be my revenge. Dallas and Green Bay. This should be a hot game. NBC, which I got to tell you before we even go forward, I like watching on the computer because you can pick your camera angle.
Right.
The Sunday night game.
That's kind of cool, isn't it?
So Dallas, Green Bay.
Yeah, this is another tough one, and it's another one that could be a fantastic game. I would love to take Green Bay, but I am not going to. I'm going to take I hate the Dallas Cowboys. I hate them. I loathe the Cowboys, but I'm picking them this week.
I have to say I'll pick Dallas, too. This is a litmus test for Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers is a real deal.
Now's the time to show it.
Now will be the time to show it. It is up at the frozen tundra in Green Bay, but it really doesn't matter this time of year. Is how cold is it even in Green Bay?
Yep. I don't know. Their weather's still reasonable.
New York Jets, San Diego on ESPN, the Monday night game.
Yep, and even though I think, you know, I'm going with the Chargers.
I'm going with the Chargers, too. I think the Chargers beat him by 21.
Yeah, you think it's going to be that big of a thing?
I think the Chargers are going to be...
I think the Chargers are a little ticked.
Completely pissed off, and this is going to be the Jets, unfortunately, I think are going to look like a 70s pro wrestling bad guy fighting Andre the Giant.
You think? You mean I'm going to get to see Brett's pouty face? Then it's
I think you're going to get... You,
if
you
I get
know,
to see
I,
Brett's pouty face, it's okay.
You know, well, if they don't win, they're 0-3.
Mrs. Favre is going to drive up here and kick my ass if I keep this up. But, I think San Diego has this one in the bag.
That is all of our picks.
It is indeed. Hey, let's go out real far on a limb. And so far, what you've seen in the first 2 weeks, who do you think could make it all the way to the big game? Who do you
big
think
game.
The NFC team, who do you think? Who's your early pick?
Arizona.
See, I'd have to go with early NFC. I got to go with the Giants.
I will go out on a limb and take Arizona for the simple reason that you know, I forgot about that match. You know, Sir Puck in the XXPN chat room.
I see. He's saying the Hulk beat Andre.
Hulk beat Andre.
Brett can beat San Diego.
Well, he's got a point there. You know, WrestleMania 3 in the Silverdome.
Yes. Yes. Well, we shall see. You know, if Brett and the Jets beat San Diego, I won't be crying in my living room. But I still think San Diego is gonna win that one. So you're taking Arizona, huh?
Who are you taking?
For AFC?
AFC Patriots.
Well, of course you were going to take the Patriots. I'll go out on a limb on that one, and let's see. Well, it's really not going out on a limb, really. But I think that, I don't know, we could see the Colts again. That's my out on the limb pick. I don't know if they'll do it. The Patriots are great. Oh, I never did tell you my AFC Triumvirate of Evil theory, but, you know, if we don't have time for that, I can do it next time.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I've noticed this in the many moons I've been watching AFC matchups. There are three teams in the AFC who are consistently, I mean, for the last, you know, several whatever years are really good, or are not really good, but pretty good, and it's the Patriots, it's the Colts, and it's the Broncos. Well, I've noticed in watching them time and time and time and time again, Denver cannot beat the Colts. They can't do it. The Patriots cannot beat Denver, and Indy can't beat the Patriots. It's like this weird circle of life in the AFC that you have these three teams that are usually pretty good, but they, you know, the victory margins are so slanted for one team over the other so many times, it's just not even funny. It's like New England has issue with Indy, or with Denver. Denver has issue with Indy, and Indy can't beat New England. It's really kind of amusing in a strange way. And then Jacksonville's kind of come along and messed with that good. Jacksonville could, we'll have to see what Denver does this year, but I think Jacksonville could replace Denver in the Triumvirate of Evil, or at least have to make it, you know, a four-way thing.
Jacksonville last year was the team that scared me.
I've been saying for years and years the two teams that just are absolutely terrifying in many ways are the Titans and the Jags.
Jacksonville, that was the team that I was afraid the Patriots couldn't get by. I wasn't worried about the Colts. I wasn't worried about the Chargers. Even though I love Philip Rivers, you know, I like I said, I saw Philip Rivers play. You know, and speaking of former NC State players, the guy that Philip Rivers threw a touchdown to in the game I saw back in like 2000, Corin Robinson, goes back to Seattle.
Crazy.
Just saw that in latest news brief. Corin Robinson, now that he's out of prison. I guess since we have a little bit of time left, Michael Vick.
Yeah. Class act there, Mr. Vick.
To me, Michael Vick should not play again.
Yeah, I don't think he should either. I don't get how a person who, you know, aside from the animal cruelty aspect, I don't understand how people can do dogfighting, period. But here you have this guy that, for that kind of, you know, truly sadistic entertainment, throws away a how many million dollar contract in an NFL career? I mean, he made the league look bad, big time. I don't think he should be invited back to play. I don't think he'd even be able to hack it after, you know, he got out of jail, frankly. I mean, there's somebody, you know, younger, stronger, who wants it more, always coming up the pipeline there.
One of the rumors about Michael Vick is that he could end up playing in a new spring football league, the All-American Football League.
See, I think if they're even going to use the title All-American, that Michael Vick shouldn't be allowed to play because he's a lousy example of an American.
Well, I mean, what would they name the team? You know, like the Richmond Dog Murderers?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not a fan of his either. He shamed the Falcons organization and the NFL, and he's not a savory human being in any sense of the word.
You know, I never cared for Michael Vick. You know, I dislike the Falcons for the fact that Arthur Blank was the owner of Falcons, was always, you know, kissing up to Vick, you know, Arthur Blank is another one of the owners that I just dislike. It's like he wants to be pals with the players. You know, I mean, call me partisan to the Patriots, but I think Bob Kraft is just got it figured out. You know, I mean, it's a business. You know, where some of these owners like Dan Snyder, Jerry Jones, you know, too much interest in wanting to be one of the guys. Like, you're the owner.
Right. Well, that's the thing. You own the team, but you let your coaching staff and all that stuff take care of that, and then you worry about, you know, the business stuff. I mean, sure, you want to keep your players happy, but there's a difference between, you know, keeping your players happy and sucking up to them or always being up in your coach's business. You hire a coach to run the team, you know?
You know, I just pulled up a scary statistic. Going back to the Raiders head coach, Lane Kiffin, the guy's birthday is May 9th, 1975.
So I'm older than he is.
I was in third grade, May 9th, 1975.
It's funny. I watch TV and they show, you know, this new, you know, the new rookie for so-and-so, and it's kind of like, is he old enough to shave yet? Is he old enough to shave?
I wonder that myself, you know, would they give Lane Kiffin, you know, a shaving endorsement?
Well, it's also one of those things, though, to be that young and to be having had, you know, head coaches are usually not that young.
I
seems like he was just cursed. I mean, head coach of Oakland and you know, only, you know, what, mid-30s, and hey, he was just cursed from the start.
Well, I don't think anybody else wanted it. You know,
Well, that's true. That is true. I'm sure there are people that would, you know, be thrilled to coach for the Oakland Raiders, but I don't think they'd want to work for I guess if you want to coach bad enough, you go where they take you.
You know, well, it appears, you know, if the news story coming out of Oakland is correct, that Rob Ryan, the son of Buddy Ryan, which, you know, two memories come back to mind for Buddy Ryan, the 86 Bears and throwing the punch at Kevin Gilbride, the offensive coordinator of the Oilers,
mm-hmm.
when they got into the fist fight on Sunday Night Football. You know, and then Rob Ryan, we'll see how he is. You know, I mean, he looks like a Harley guy, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
The work of Bill Belichick, but
Belichick cracks me up. It's like, you know, the man, he is the most casual coach in the NFL. He always looks like he's kind of chilling out in his sweats or his pajamas, you know, having a good time, doing his thing. But no, you look at the Raiders and I mean, they took Warren Sapp, who, you know, had a reputation. I mean, they picked up Bill Romanowski, who that guy was a beast. You know, if you're a bad boy, you go to Oakland. That sort of seems to be the thing.
You know, and it had been for so long. I don't know that works for him anymore.
Well, was their rep throughout. I mean, remember Lyle Alzado and all those guys back in the 70s and early 80s. It's just you went in there and you figured half your team was going to come out in a body cast, and players who were, you know, known to play, you know, hard or dirty or whatever, they got cut from wherever, and they, you know, Warren Sapp or Romanowski, and they ended up, you know, in Oakland. And Sapp didn't last long, and, you know, Romanowski punched a teammate, and he was gone. I don't know if the league or the other players or whatever really tolerate that kind of behavior the way they used to, because that was the Raiders' rep for a long time. I know, you know, you'd watch the Broncos, and we'd used to dread having to go play in Oakland because you were sure someone was just going to get, you know, crushed. But you know, the game is it's not quite as brutal as it used to be, and I think since that has changed, it's hurt the Raiders. Plus the moves, I mean, from Oakland to LA back to Oakland and things of that nature. I do love watching the games though because of their fans. You know, they all dress up like from the Road Warrior and stuff. The Raider Nation. I think that's what they call themselves.
The Raider Nation, you know. I remember hearing the story about the man in the wheelchair that I forget what team he cheered for, but he was in Alameda County Stadium, and he got beaten up by the Raiders fans.
Yeah,
they beat up a dude in a wheelchair.
They're just insane. But I mean, every you know, a lot of the teams have that, like, you know, they have the Raider Nation out there, the guys that all dress up like the Road Warriors, and then they have the you know, the Dog Pound in Cleveland. And Denver has the Barrel Man, and you know, you've got in the Green Bay, they have all the cheese heads. You know, these fans that take things, I mean, they're so devoted. It's in a way, it's kind of cool as long as they're not beating people up. But no, you get a kick out of when you see the Raiders Stadium and they're all in their silly outfits, and it's, you know, 100 something degrees, and you're thinking they're all painted up with their, you know, bizarre helmets on. It's like, well, you guys, I hope you had a good time tailgating, and so you don't really notice the pain of this game, because you're not going to win, but at least you're having a good time.
Now, I wonder what's going to happen this year with the Cardinals doing better. I mean, the Cardinals are a team that you always expected, you know, 24,000 people in the stadium, and they couldn't do a wave if they needed to.
Well, it was so weird when they went out there, because I mean, I guess I'm used to, you know, the traditional old school, you know, the hardcore Giants fans and the hardcore Green Bay fans, and then they send a team out to, you know, Arizona. And you think, first of all, would you want to play in Arizona? Remember before they had their own stadium and they were playing outside? And those early season, you know, the early season games, and it's like, my God, it's 110 degrees.
That was
why would anyone want to play football in that unless they absolutely had to? But I guess they had enough interest to get a team there, you know?
I was on a layover, and I got very cheap tickets. I think they're like $8 to go to Sun Devil and see Arizona and Seattle. And it was, you know, it was about 140 degrees on metal bleachers, no less.
Mm-hmm. And because they were playing at the University Stadium, right, when they first started?
Yeah, they're playing at the stadium of the
University of Phoenix?
Arizona Sun Devils. The new stadium, the one with the retractable grass, is University of Phoenix Stadium, which is a beautiful stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly makes up for the lack of amenities that was Sun Devil, with, like, you know, three bathrooms and two of them were porta potties and one didn't work.
Right.
But Ren, we've gone into overtime.
We have indeed. Yeah, we have indeed. So we'll have to do it next week and talk about week three and pick for week four.
We will have to picks.
I'll send my picks to you and I'll draw us a fun little logo or something. And I think this has been fun.
This has been awesome. This has been, you know, especially after, you know, I did, you know, we were doing two shows a day, two Brenneman Airplane episodes a day on, you know, it's really important coverage of Hurricane Ike because it was closing in on Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It was exhausting. You know, it was just, you know, a completely different show. And it's fun to do something really with no meaning. You know,
right, something that's lighthearted. And I take my football very, very seriously. I do. I love it. I am in front of my television every Sunday during football season. And when the season's over, I feel like, oh, God, what am I going to do for the next 3 months? But, yeah, when you're talking about serious issues and serious stuff all the time, just doing sports stuff is fun.
We got an email at xxdnradio@gmail.com. for me to share. Dan in Seattle suggests that Al Davis hire Vince McMahon
There's a thought. I mean, we've seen how well Vince McMahon has done with football, with his failed, you know, XFL or whatever it was. There's a thought. I bet he could put behinds in seats, I'm sure.
You know, Vince McMahon, one would have to think that he learned from that experience. I mean, the XFL was terrible.
It was. You know, if I'm McMahon and I'm a football fan, I just go ahead and buy a team.
Well, you know,
I'm sure he could afford one.
He actually tried when he tried to buy the Minnesota Vikings from
Ed
McComb. And the NFL, if reading the Vince McMahon biography was accurate, I mean, if memory serves me correctly, the NFL owners balked at it, and that was the catalyst for the
XFL. Well, he could just move to Green Bay and be part owner of the Packers, like everybody who lives there.
He should.
Yeah.
Oh, God. There's a scary thought.
Yeah.
Vince would probably move the team to, you know, Stamford, Connecticut.
Yeah, from Greenwich to Green Bay, right? Yeah. But no, yeah, he would be an interesting choice.
Sir Puck, you are hereby commanded to go to BrennemanAirplane.net and give us your predictions for week three.
And there's a fan I know of, a football fan over in the UK who this is on at like what 1 a.m. over there for them. He will download and listen tomorrow. Maybe he'll send in his picks too. They get one game over. They get the Monday night game over there in England, and he's apparently at the pub watching it every week. So maybe he'll listen and send some in too. We might as well make it an international thing.
Wait, let's make it an international thing. Yeah, well, and I mean, he was the fan in London was ripped off. You know, they lost their league. They had you know, NFL Europe, NFL Europa, World League. You know, it seemed like it was a different name every year, and the teams moved every year. But does anybody remember Stan Gelbaugh winning the World League Championship for the London Monarchs?
Vaguely. I mean, I remember reading it somewhere. No, it seems like, I mean, football really seems to be kind of an American thing. I mean, they have the Canadian leagues and such, but I think, you know, it's kind of our sport. But it's cool that people in other countries like it. It's good to know if I ever happen to be in Chile that I can go into a bar.
Canadian football, of course, you know, I remember ESPN at one time used to run
it. They used to show it. Yeah, you could watch it on ESPN.
You know, and the pregame show or the highlight show, whatever it's called, was from the 55-yard line. You know, and it took me like
much
six
lower budget.
Yeah,
much lower budget. But hey, I guess you know. Well, you know, they're just not into it like we are.
Well, I mean, how into a game could you be? You know, sitting in the stadium in Edmonton. You know, and
I've watched many a hockey game in Edmonton, but you're inside. You know, it's totally different. But then again, I remember I went to see, and this was many, many, many eons ago, I went to see the old Mile High, and it was the Chiefs and the Broncos, and it was 73 degrees when the game started, and by the time it was the starting of the fourth quarter, there was 6 inches of snow on the ground. I mean, it's just the weather, Green Bay, Denver, you know, Cincinnati, insane, completely nuts. You go to a game and, you know, in a T-shirt and shorts, and you're freezing by the time it's over, or you take a snowsuit with you.
And then there's a reason for dome stadiums.
Truly, and I think when they were redoing a couple of the stadiums, they asked, you know, do you want a dome or do you not want a dome, and a lot of cold weather teams, you know, Green Bay and the Broncos or whatever, like, no, we wouldn't, you know, we win games because Mother Nature's on our side.
Well, you know, you have to think the Vikings.
They have, they say the joke is that, you know, if you're a dome team, you don't count if you play in a dome, which, you know, I think that's silly. You look at a lot of the teams that are so good that have come from domes. But I think there is something too. You're hardcore if you're out there in you know, Green Bay and it's and the wind is blowing and it's 2 degrees and you're staying for the whole game.
To sit and watch, you know, in December, to sit and watch a game at Lambeau.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. Anytime I go to a city that has a stadium, whether it be the season or not, I try and go take a picture of it. I did that in Chicago when I was up there. But, yeah, I don't know if I'd want to be sitting outside. And, you know, just can you imagine these season ticket holders in places like, you know, Green Bay or whatever? They're out there every single time. I figure they must be hammered. That must help.
I think if I was going to be a season ticket holder, I'd want to be a Charger season ticket holder. You know, it's 74 degrees.
All the time, yeah. Yep.
You know, other than wildfires every, you know, 10 years, moving the game to Phoenix.
I'm trying to.
That's the only thing you have to worry about.
I'm trying to. Oh, here we go. I'm checking something out real quick. Let's see. Okay. Oh, man. Let me see. Let's see. Regular season. Oh, it doesn't look like it. I was checking to see if the Redskins in the regular season played the Panthers, because we'd have to go. But it doesn't look like they do. Because, you know, that's kind of close for either one of those, you know, either one of our local kind of home teams, even though they're not our teams. But, no, they don't play each other in regular season. Alas, we'd have to do, like, a live cast from the stadium or something.
So what are your thoughts on Jim Thorne? We've got 6 minutes left.
You know, I kind of like the guy, but...
I mean, he was a really fun... I don't know if you remember the Seahawks back in the Jim Zorn era, but, you know, every field goal was an adventure. They had Efren Herrera, the kicker.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you definitely knew what the guy was thinking or feeling at the time, which I think is cool. I mean, you look at some of these coaches that are just, you know, they're like, they're, you know, ice kings, as it were. I kind of like to see the coaches and the players and whatever get into what's going on, the owners, not to the point where they're, you know, look like they're going to blow up or whatever. But yeah, I think it's cool to watch that. I think, you know, I think it's good that it's much more fun when it's much more exciting to watch than just always business as usual, you know?
Jim's one, I think, maybe the guy that gets it done.
Yeah, you think?
I don't think that they will ever win a Super Bowl, ever, as long as Dan Snyder is his owner.
Yeah. Well, that could be.
You know, I just despise Dan Snyder. You know, and it goes back to my first dislike of Dan Snyder actually came when I heard the reports that he had kept the players out for like 40 minutes out of the locker room so that he could chew out Norv Turner and...
Well, yeah, that's just not done. I mean, if you have an issue with somebody, you call them up to your office and you talk to them. You don't do it when you know, the team is standing around waiting to do whatever. Yeah, no, you don't do that. It's bad for the morale of the organization in general.
Well, you know, and I don't know, of course, I don't know the situation, but even a boss I'm not particularly sympathetic to, if I hear them getting ripped a new asshole for the purpose of you know, my boss's boss trying to sound like a tough guy, you know, that rallies me around my boss, even if I don't like them.
Right.
You know, because I don't like seeing somebody pissed on, you know, by some sniveling guy in a bad suit like Dan Snyder.
Right. No, I'm with you there. It's bad form. It's bad form. If you have an issue with, you know, your coaching staff, you call them up, you talk to them, you know, away from the players, away from even the media and the fans and stuff. You do it away from the people that make your team happen. You don't do it where it's going to be, you know, because then the players have to go in and their coach has just been reamed or whatever. You know, he's not going to be in a good mood, and it's all going to run downhill sooner or later, you know?
Unless you're Al Davis, then you go to the press and you say, Lane Kiffin is not the guy I interviewed.
Exactly. Well, you know, exactly. And it's kind of like, yeah, it's, come on. It's not his fault that your team is not doing, you know, they're not living up to their potential. You can't put that all on him.
They're giving the guy 1 year.
Yeah, giving him, exactly. But it's the same, like we said, you know, these coaches or these owners that go through coaches like most people change socks. I mean, you think about teams that are consistently good with good coaches. Usually, you know, they've been there for a while. They have a rapport. They've had more than, you know, a year or 6 months or even 2 years to work together and get used to each other and get things going.
Well, the first year of Belichick in New England, the Patriots were 5-11 and they were awful.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I mean, you have coaches that get to walk into situations that were pretty good. I mean, like Shanahan walked in to Denver after Reeves left, and Reeves had built up some good stuff, and Shanahan kept it going. Or, you know, you look what, you know, like Holmgren's done with the Seahawks. I mean, you know, this year aside, there's a rapport that has to be there. And if you're changing coaches every 5 minutes, that's never going to happen.
Jim Mora Jr. and Ray Caldwell in Indianapolis and... Jim Mora Jr., of course, in Seattle, they had good gigs.
Mm-hmm.
Tough acts to follow in Tony Dungy. And,
right.
Holmgren in Seattle. But nonetheless, in Indy is a turnaround org. I mean, I remember when the Colts were, like, a terrible owner team with Bob Irsay, and we're down to 60 seconds. Any final thought?
Nah, just everybody enjoy your games on Sunday.
Enjoy your games.
And catch us next week.
Catch. On behalf of Renegade Evolution, this is Football Fantasy, Two Femmes Talk Football, an exclusive product of XXBN, XXBN.net, Raleigh, Durham, XXBNradio.com, Fargo. Next scheduled show, Cult of Gracie, tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Central Time on XXBN. Music by Rusted. We'll be right back.